The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
It's been one day, so of course now we have more conspiracies about the death of a young rapper. Why listening to an anonymous poster on 4chan could ruin your life. And U.S. fighter pilots have a close encounter of the churned kind today on Dead Rabbit Radio. Oh, you have no idea how many times I recorded that intro. My name is Jason Carpenter. This is Dead Rabbit Radio. You know, this is one of those days where it's like, hey, what do you want to do for a hobby? Oh, I'm going to do a podcast. When do you want to start it? June. You know you can't run any fans or have any sort of air conditioning units while you're recording. Oh, yeah, and I know. It's 91 degrees. It's 10 o'clock at night. I'm sweating. It's like recording in a swamp. But, you know, what are you going to do? It could be worse. I could still be in California. I'm up in the ever so docile yet stunningly dark town of Hood River. It's very creepy here. I think I might have to dedicate a whole week to episodes about Hood River. There's something off here. You can always tell there's something bad in a neighborhood or in a town when there's a lot of churches. There's a lot of churches in Hood River. We have a population of about 10,000 people. And just off the top of my head, there's maybe 10 churches. And there was a pause there because it's just, I mean, that's a church for every 1,000 people. I lived in Sacramento when I was in California. Millions of people live there. There was a ton of churches, but when you have millions of people, you're going to have tons of churches. Some churches are going to have 10 members. Some churches are going to have, 500-600 members. I think Crystal Cathedral was down there, something like that. Hood River has, I'd say, about 10 churches, and you have, like, the Latter-day Saints, and you have the Jehovah's Witness Temple, and then you have, you know, the Protestant breakaways, the Seventh-day Adventist and the Baptist and so on and so on. We have three Mason lodges, all within about two blocks of each other. That's weird. So, yeah, it's just weird. I always say that if you go to a town and there's a lot of churches there, that means people have a need to repent more. I don't know, I'm rambling now. The heat's getting to me. So we're going to try to get this going quickly. So let's go ahead and start off with a story about, again, the young rapper whose name I'm sure I'm mispronouncing, Extension. Of course, it's only been a little bit over 24 hours. We're already getting more conspiracy theories about the death of Extension. It's coming out, you know, of course, the Drake theory seems to be the leading one. That photo I talked about the last episode with Drake engaged in a homosexual act, oral copulation with another man. That picture has been getting more traction, and when I saw it, it was cropped kind of suggestively. When Extension put it on his Twitter, it was kind of cropped, and now I've seen kind of the full photo, and there is a dick in this young man's mouth. I don't know if it's Drake or what, but it looks like Drake. Anyways, so this is the other, and this is the thing I've always found this interesting about conspiracy theories. You'll have an event that happens. And some people, a weird thing with conspiracy theories is now people have started debating whether or not the event has happened in the first place. Before an event happens, and then you have an initial conspiracy theory come out about it, and then the conspiracy theories get odder and odder as time goes on. So, for example, JFK gets shot. That's an incident that has actually absolutely happened. The first conspiracy theories were things like it was Russia was behind it. And then as you start to pull back through time, you start to get stuff where, no, it was the mafia. That wasn't one of the initial big theories. you had to give it a little bit of a distance there. And as time has gone on even further, you start having stuff like, oh no, he got killed because he was going to reveal the existence of aliens. So the conspiracy theories tend to start off fairly close to home. And then as time goes on, they spread out. 9/11, the initial conspiracy theories was, it was an inside job. It was controlled demolition because the way that the towers fell. And then about 6 months, a year after that, it became hologram. The planes were holograms and they were destroyed by a laser from space. If that was the first conspiracy theory that had gained traction with 9/11, people would have dismissed it outright. It's almost like the slippery slope of arguments for conspiracy theories. The first ones are always relatively plausible. So let's say that it is plausible that X, I'm just going to call him X now, X tweeted that thing about Drake, and then Drake killed him. That's a plausible conspiracy. It's still a conspiracy, but that's a plausible one. It's been one day, and you know, to go back to my thing, the cycle has sped up because conspiracy theories have become so mainstream now. The cycle has sped up. When it used to take months or years for the conspiracy theories to get wacky, they've definitely sped up. I came across this post today. The headline is, Extension was killed by demons. I'm almost certain, this is not my words, this is what he's saying. I'm almost certain Extension was killed by the Grand Pontiff of Hell, Baal Berith, or Baal Berith, or Bulfrey. And then it says, Berith is a demon who grants material success, turns base metals into gold, and enhances musical performance, but is also a notorious liar and trickster. He also shapeshifts. No citation for this. I don't know why I'm surprised there's no citation for this, that I can't actually look this up. He grants material success, turns base metals into gold. That's kind of redundant. But anyways, and here's his evidence. He actually entitles this next passage, Some Evidence. Berith appears wearing red. X's killers were alleged to have been wearing red masks. On a horse, the killing was a drive-by. Berith is most powerful Monday evening and night. X was killed on a Monday afternoon. I don't know how that plays because he's most powerful evening and night. And during the month of June, according to Christian lore, Berith is associated with murder and blasphemy. We're past the looking glass, people. We have entered a reality where some people are going to take this seriously. And I guess we've always been there. But because of the internet, this stuff's going to fly around incredibly fast. I believe that this post here, this is the way conspiracy theories generally work. This post is going to go up. It's going to disappear probably in the next 24 or 48 hours. And then maybe 2-3 weeks from now, you're going to start seeing more and more people talking about this. He was killed by the occult. He was killed by a demon. It's almost like you throw the seed out there, and then it just kind of disappears at first, and then other people take root. Because here's the thing. When you post it, people are going to look at it and go, that's an it. That doesn't make any sense. So it disappears, and then people start talking about it. And every time you talk about it, the details change a bit. So then what will happen is 6 weeks from now, someone will go, oh yeah, you know, I think I read this thing a while back that said that X was killed by a demon because this demon only operates during the June afternoons, and he was killed during June afternoon. People go, oh man, that is a weird coincidence. Like, the same demon who's known for bringing about rap success only operates in June afternoons. And they're like, oh yeah, that... See how the information changes? The information this person first puts off, enhanced musical performance during the nights, during June's, all that stuff will get changed. And I've seen it with almost every conspiracy theory. I've seen it with almost every conspiracy theory. The initial conspiracy is put out, and then the information is changed. So generally, that's what happens. Someone spouts off a conspiracy theory that's half-assed, and over time, it becomes even more half-assed, where people start adding and deleting things that work better with the theory. That's generally how these things work. They grow over time. They're fairly organic because they don't rely on a core set of facts. The core set of facts is X got killed on June 18th. That's the fact. Everything else you can kind of throw in there. Oh, they're wearing, you know, okay, here's one. They said it was a car and it was like riding a horse. Watch, the car will turn into a Mustang, or the car will have some sort of Mustang decal, or it'll tie it in closer to that horse imagery. We'll see these conspiracies grow over around this. So, I mean, that's one of the things that I think is fascinating about conspiracy theories. It is very, like, you can watch them evolve over time. I think they're fairly dangerous. And that's what's going to lead us into our next segment. Now, I did an episode a couple, I know we're on episode 9, but it was, I think, episode 5 or 6, where I was talking about the anti-Trump resistance rap with the little girls, and it was garbage. Now, in the sake of fairness, and I blasted them because they were using it to sell merchandise, in the sake of fairness, I came across this article the other day, and this is an unfortunate story, and it shows the problem, and this happens on both sides of the divide, but it's particularly interesting with this. So there, if you're familiar with 4chan at all, there is currently a poster on 4chan called Q, or QAnon, but his Q is what he goes by, or she, claims to be a top-level, actually doesn't really claim much, just kind of leaks out information. Q is a top secret, like a really high secret security clearance. And people have postulated that Q is Barron Trump or Jared Kushner or Steve Bannon or Trump himself. But whoever this person is has dropped hints and basically said that Robert Mueller is working with Donald Trump to drain the swamp. That this whole investigation is a way for him to get into the FBI's files and root out all of this stuff, because if Trump tried investigating Hillary Clinton and lock her up and all of that stuff, he'd be stymied. So what they do is they created this controlled opposition. So Robert Mueller is like, I'm going to get you, Trump, FBI, give me all your files so I can pin Trump. And they're like, yeah, sure. And then he's going through them and he's like, Hillary Clinton did this wrong, Obama did this wrong, Loretta Lynch did this wrong, Comey did this wrong, blah. And there's these mass arrests. I'm going to go back to what I said yesterday. Sometimes it's nice to live in this world. Yesterday I was talking about sci-fi world, but you live in this world where it's good versus evil and there's clear battle lines, and the bad guys live in a smoking volcano, and the good guys wear shining armor, and in the end, the good guys win and the bad guys are punished. That's not really the way the world works. The bad guys don't live in a smoking volcano. Everyone is on a sliding scale. But these people want to believe this Q story because it just, one, it takes away the fear of, oh crap, Robert Mueller is digging hard on Trump. And if you dig hard enough on anyone, you're going to find something. And then someone goes, don't be afraid though, Robert Mueller's on our side. See, don't be afraid, he's with us. So it takes away that stress of reading the newspaper, assuming they read the newspaper, but reading the newspaper and being like, oh man, you know, Manafort got caught and, you know, all this stuff. So it gives a nice narrative. It's basically saying, shh, you know, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. It's a nice narrative. It's a nice narrative to think that the people who you perceive are the bad guys will be thrown in jail and the good guys will survive. Disregarding what an absolute chaos that would send America into if a bunch of political opponents were jailed, it wouldn't work out. I almost think that even if Hillary Clinton and Obama had done a bunch of illegal stuff, it wouldn't be worth it to throw them in jail. But anyways, I'm getting off topic, because Q has been going on saying this, and it's gotten to the point where the investigator, the inspector general, I think it was, had a report coming out, and Trump was, of course, chiming in, and he's like, "Do you better not water down that report." And, you know, the worry was that Q was right, that this Inspector General's report was going to come out and it was going to prove that Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama were totally crooked and all of this stuff is going on. So why is this, why am I talking about this obviously super political issue on this podcast? It's because what happens is when people post stuff online, just like the resistance movement, both of them, but I'm talking specifically about the resistance of light one, the one we were talking about yesterday, it sucks people in, and people do stupid stuff when they think they're on the right side. So this young man, and I'm saying young, he's 30, he's younger than me, it was the Hoover Dam, he goes to the Hoover Dam, he's driving an armored vehicle, he parks sideways, so it completely blocks traffic. He holds up a sign that says, "Release the OIG report," which is the Office of the Inspector General. He's holding the sign up. He's doing that for about an hour. And what's odd is that the report was already released. So this person was most likely under the belief that it was the watered-down report, that the one that Q had predicted. The true report was still out here. And this man was going to do the right thing. I'm sure he was, as he was planning this, he was daydreaming. He was daydreaming the fact that he's going to block traffic and he's going to hold a sign up. And America's going to look and go, what's the OIG report? And there's going to be FBI agents kind of, you know, rubbing their hands together going like, how do we defeat him? Like, how we can't let the sheeple know about the OIG report, but here is this American hero. And he's out there for days, and celebrities are like, yes, yes, yes. Like, they're chanting his name. He's daydreaming all of this. All of the people now recognizing this young man finally as the hero that he knows he is. And the report is released. And Obama and Clinton and all of the rest are thrown in jail because he got the true OIG report released. He's a celebrity now. No, he's a national hero. And so you get those thoughts spinning in your head. First, you kind of get the seed in your head. And then you start daydreaming about it. And then you go do it. He's sitting in jail right now. He was charged with terrorist acts, which is 10 years, just right off the bat, if he gets found guilty. Terrorist acts, unlawful flight from law enforcement. Because what happened was after about an hour, he took off. He crossed state lines. That's not good. Hoover Dam, I believe, is federally controlled, so that he's going to get federal charges with that. But anyways, unlawful flight from law enforcement, carrying a weapon in the commission of a felony, he had a gun and a shotgun, and misconduct involving weapons. He also faces a misdemeanor charge of blocking a highway. That's the least of his worries. This young man is, the way I always say, he's taken off the game board. He's taken off the game board. You have people who are politically active on both sides. They get riled up by their leaders who care nothing for them. Their only motive is making profit and perpetuating their own power. We see this on both sides. Some of them, sure. Some of them feel... Some of them are like, yeah, no, I'm doing the right thing. But most of them, this is just a way for them to make a buck. But anyway, so this young man, he's taken off the game board. And when politics, when I say taken off the game board, what you do is you can vote, you can run for office, you can be political, you can be active in the political process. That's done for him. And you have that on the other side too, people who are very, very political, getting in fights, and their member of Antifa gets in a fight, gets charged with a felony, loses their right to vote, taken off the game board. Chooses, you know, they're not going to be able to engage in the political process anymore. Because this changed nothing. Punching someone in the face, it changes nothing. I think this is tragic, though, because this young man was going to 4chan or wherever he was reading it, most likely 4chan. He's getting his head filled with these ideas from somebody who nobody knows if Q is even real, if Q is even one person. What we do know is what Q predicted has not come true. So, my advice to you in that, and I think this is kind of advice going forward, there's very few conspiracy theories that I actually believe are true. That I'm like, nope, that one's absolutely true. I've researched it. That one's true. But even the ones I think are true, I'm not like, and now I have to take action. Because you can take action, you don't have to block a freeway. You know, it's done. This guy's done. And honestly, he'll get persecuted to the fullest extent of the law. And 30 years old, he'll probably, you know, be in jail for about 10, 12 years. Going to have a hard life getting out, getting readjusted. For what? Because he thought he was right. He thought he was right. He didn't have all the information. Sucks. Quickly, I think I've gone on too long, but I did want to talk about this. So I know the other day I was kind of poo-pooing the idea of UFOs, and I do believe there's unidentified flying objects. I do believe there's quote unquote alien space, you know, vehicles. My idea is that I don't think they're from another planet. I think they're either from Earth or they're from another dimension. So I'm not like, oh no, I'm a totally skeptic. Everything has to, I have to see everything to believe it and blah, blah, blah. I think they're either from Earth and they are a more advanced species than us. I think they're either from Earth or, and they are humans, but they have just a certain level of technology above us. Or that it's from something so remotely alien, as in another dimension, that we can't interact with them in any sort of meaningful way. I think those three scenarios are far more likely than a something on another planet that has none of our similar DNA, is completely alien to us in both biology and chemistry and mental capacity, building something that we could even recognize as a vehicle. Building a box, putting things in that box, and moving that box from point A to point B is an earthly concept. We do it. That is something that is done on Earth. That is, and the only reason we do it is because we had massive oceans. If you lived on a planet that was mostly rivers that you could bridge across, the idea of building a box and sending it from point A to point B over a vast distance, is that's a very, very human thing. We do it, ants do it. It's an Earth concept. So the fact that you are expecting something that is evolved along a totally different evolutionary platform to have that same concept, to me, is more ridiculous than something on this planet from under the ocean or in the cave system or something like that, who is connected to our DNA, is in connected to our planet going, hey, you know what we need to do? We need to build a box and move it from point A to point B. That's far more realistic to me. So I was reading these articles the other day, and it's not super old. It's from May. I found it interesting because we're starting to get these disclosure incidents from the U.S. Navy. We're finding, it was the Tic Tac UFO, and I'm going to include the link because the video is amazing. And, it, you know, generally when people talk about UFO sightings, we tend to give more credibility to Air Force pilots, military personnel, police officers, for a reason. I mean, they tend to, one, be out in weird areas. They generally aren't allowed to drink on the job, so a lot of times, especially airline pilots, hopefully not, but so their sightings are more credible because they have no substances in their system, and they're flying all the time. They're looking up all the time. They're patrolling all the time, so when they see something out of the ordinary and they can't explain it, it's more than me going into the woods for the first time in 8 years and seeing like a big thing move by, and me going, oh, it's Bigfoot, and it's really just a black bear. So I never see him. Anyways, so we're starting to get these videos of these fighter pilots chasing these little tic-tac shapes, which is cool enough. But when I was reading the article, and this is where the Close Encounters of the Churned Kind, it took me a while to come up with that. So this one fighter pilot is chasing this tic-tac and flying over the ocean. And what I thought was amazing was that the fighter pilot's flying over the ocean. He's chasing the tic-tac. He starts to lose visual on the tic-tac. And he looks down and he sees in the ocean. So the ocean underneath them, the water is churning. It's just this massive, So pilots reported a large disturbance just under the surface of the ocean, round and 100 yards across. It appeared as if the tic-tac was rendezvousing with the underwater object. And then it said, so it's just like this huge churning of water, like the size of a football field, just moving through the water. And when the pilot came back around, it was because it looked like something was submerging, the way the water kind of just turns white and bubbles up. And the pilot says, you know, I fly over the ocean all the time. It was also similar to how shoals, like coral may look, is water. Like, you know, it's kind of sticking up in the water and the water's hitting it. He goes, but when I came back around, there was nothing there. Like he expected to come back around and see that same whiteness and go, well, it must just be the shoals, but they were gone. And our submarine said, there's nothing there. So yeah, and you know, our submarines weren't picking up anything. The term cloaking was used a couple times in the article. So it was just kind of interesting. interesting idea. I guess this footage is from back in 2009, and they were saying, yeah, in 2009. And of course, it was seven F-18 pilots were part of the statements, as well as radar operators on the ships. And then it said, despite the seriousness of the encounter, the pilots faced ridicule after their encounters. The Navy's initial report was buried, but not forwarded to command. It was decided the AAV, which is the Anomalous Aerial Vehicle, was not a threat. So it's another term they're using instead of UFO because it has such a bad meaning to it. So that's the thing. You come forward and you're like, oh man, I was flying and I saw this Tic Tac and people are going to make fun of you. And then they watch the footage and they're just like, ah, let's just bury it. It sucks. You know, because people do see this stuff and it makes people not want to come forward. And that's always been the big thing is the government is trying to hide that information from us all. But again, I think this points more to my theory that if something's underwater, if the Tic Tac is going to meet up with something underwater, that what's here is from this planet. I think that's more likely. And I think the interdimensional thing is second. I think it's less likely, but it's definitely more likely than, again, aliens coming from another planet. That's just ridiculous. It's all, it all can be considered ridiculous, but the distances are so great. The idea of them building, to even have ships, they would need to have propulsion systems. To develop propulsion systems, you would have to have some sort of state of warfare to develop dynamite and explosives, and so those are all things that humans have done, and to assume that the same pattern would take place on a planet, even within spitting distance of us. I mean, of course, across the universe, sure, I'm sure there's aliens on other planets, I'm not denying that. But the idea of them building ships and flying here, and ever getting here, and being even in our same galaxy are so infinitesimally small. It's nice to think about, incredibly unlikely. Before I go, I did watch a movie, it's kind of the same vein, called The Alien Code. It came out this year. I'm going to give it a half-hearted recommendation. It had a great concept, a lot of great visuals. The acting was really good. It just, the second act got real rough for me. A character shows up out of the blue and does an info dump for about 15 minutes. And then the movie kind of carries on from that, but it really lost me. It's funny because you can watch a movie, you can be totally into it, and then all it takes is a chunk to take you out. One scene won't take me out of the movie. One line or one bad special effect won't take me out of a movie. But I think that they had three leads in the movie. One of the leads disappeared and another person showed up and just was like sipping tea and gave all this exposition. And it totally took me out of the movie. It was a super boring scene. And I was thinking the whole time, why didn't they just have the third lead deliver this information? It would have been much more cohesive. It could actually be done quicker because you didn't have to introduce that person. You could have that third person go, these are the files. So the concept is that a young man is hired by this private corporation saying, we found a U.S. satellite in orbit, and it's broadcasting a code that we can't break. This kid's a cryptographer. We found this U.S. satellite in orbit. It's broadcasting a code that we can't break. We need someone to break the code and tell us what it is. And the young man goes, well, why don't you just ask the U.S. government? They sent it up. And she goes, well, they didn't send it up. So the young man goes, what do you mean they didn't send it up? You said it was U.S. satellite. And she said, yeah, it is a U.S. satellite. We haven't sent it up yet. We believe it's from the future. That's a cool way to start a movie off. Like, right, the mystery is ready to go. I'm like, okay. There's actually another mystery that kind of starts a movie off, but so I'm like, okay, that's cool. So we're watching this young man trying to decode this transmission, and the mystery goes on from there. Who sent it up? Why they sent it up? What's happening to the young man? What's happening to the other people in the world around him? Very well done movie. Just that scene, like, it, and you'll know it because it just kind of, the color tone changes. The feel of the entire movie changes in that 15 minutes. So when I had to get back on board for the last act, for like the last 20, 30 minutes, actually it took me a bit to get on. The ending was good. So I'll take away my half-hearted recommendation. I'd recommend watching this movie if you're a fan of sci-fi. Just, you know, maybe you'll watch it and you won't have that same criticism as I did. I will have to say it was nice watching a good science fiction movie lately. I've been watching a lot of garbage. That is going to be it for tonight. I have to turn this fan on so bad. I am just dripping sweat. Dripping sweat. Do I have anything? I do. I have some more Diet Pepsi. Here's a sponsored drink for you. I wish I could say brought to you today by Diet Pepsi, the choice of a generation, but I can't, as they didn't sponsor me. But I did carry home a 24-pack by myself today, and those are heavier than you think. I'm going to finish off this Diet Pepsi. You have a great day. Thanks for listening to Dead Rabbit Radio.